Good morning. My name's Ethan. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, I would love to shake your hand and get to know a little bit about you after the service. It has been 1 year since Caroline and I joined the church, and we are so happy to be here. Thank you so much because you have made this church not an occupation, but a family to us. You have been so kind to us. You've been so welcoming. And we are so glad to be here, and we look forward to many more years here. A special thank you to Pastor Wayne for giving me the opportunity to preach this morning. If you've been with us, you know that we're in the book of 1 John, so I invite you to get your Bibles and turn there now. We'll be in 1 John chapter 3. In the Pew Bibles, it's page 863. Wayne preached the first half of this passage last week. And we will read verses 16 through the end of the chapter. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but indeed in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. I think that I can cause you some anxiety in just four words. You ready? Maybe take a deep breath. Calm yourselves. We need to talk. Did it work? You know, get anybody? It definitely works on me. Those words cause me stress. They cause me fear. They make me think, oh no, what have I done? What have I been doing wrong that I was unaware of? And I think that's normal. I think for a lot of us, we hear those words and we instantly are taken back to maybe something like a relationship from middle school or high school. Maybe we think about movies or a TV show where there's a boy and a girl and they've been dating and they've been together a long time. Things are going well. But then all of a sudden you start to see something change in their relationship. Maybe the boy starts to get text messages and he ignores them until eventually he gets a call and he declines it. And they don't say anything to each other, but you can tell that she's upset. You can tell that he knows that he's maybe doing something wrong, but you can also tell he's not going to change anything. Until eventually, the girl comes and says, "We need to talk." And at that point, right, there isn't actually much talking that's happening. What she says instead is, "We're going to go our separate ways." If you're like me, then when you hear those words, "We need to talk," you're not thinking so much about the conversation as you're worried is what's going to happen next. You're worried, does this mean the end of our relationship? Are we breaking up? We go in different ways. In 1 John 3, John is actually coming to the church and he's saying, "Church, we need to talk. There's something wrong." But the good news this morning that we'll see is, if you want a long-term, lasting relationship, the best thing you can do is check on that relationship. The best thing you can do is talk about it. And that is exactly what John is teaching the church and is teaching us to do this morning. We need to practice this because ultimately it's not just someone in a TV show coming to us. It's the Lord himself saying, "We need to talk." So how do we have that conversation? How do we respond? And how do we do it rightly? Look at verses 16 through 18. This is where John teaches us how to have this talk. How do we check on our relationship with the Lord? In verse 16, he says, "We love because Jesus has first loved us. He's laid down his life for us, so now we should lay down our lives for the brothers." That word for brothers, more broadly, just means for the church. So we should be loving and sacrificing for the people around us. The first thing that John points our gaze to, if we're going to really check on our relationship, is that we should examine our actions. We should examine our actions. And this is something that Jesus has always pointed us to. He says that a real true faith and a real love for other people, those are actually the same thing. They're two sides of the same coin. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed and he would eventually give himself up for us, his last commandment to the disciples in the upper room, Mark actually read earlier, where Jesus says, "You should love others as I have loved you." How they treat other people matters. And another time when Jesus is being quizzed, he's asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" And instead of giving a single answer, he gives a double answer. He says, "Of course, the greatest is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And he says, "And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." So true love of God and true love for other people are two sides of the same coin. And so if we want to check on our relationship with the Lord, the first thing we can do is ask, how am I acting? How am I treating those around me? What should our answer be? What should we be looking for in particular? Well, John is pretty clear that our love should be sacrificial. We should be sacrificing, giving something up for the blessing of somebody else. I love the language that we use around Mountain Brook Baptist Church. We say that we should give of our time, of our talents, and of our treasures. I think that makes sense. And if we think about it, as a Christian, I believe that not every weekend belongs to me. I expect that there will be some Saturdays, there will be some Sunday afternoons, there will be some evenings even during the week where I should be supporting someone else, where I should be, in my role, attending a junior high football game and supporting some of our kids who play, where I could be going to a funeral visitation and supporting a family. I could be serving on a Saturday at Faith Church or with one of our other mission partners. Our time is not our own. We should be giving up some of what we have. Likewise, our talents aren't our own. I think we should come to expect that if we are good at teaching or a good presenter, that eventually one of the ministers will find you and ask you to lead a Sunday school class. Likewise, there are many other talents that should be used for other people's blessing. Maybe you could help set up for VBS and move lots of fun things around the church. There are many ways that you can use your unique talents to bless other people. And then finally, our treasures. We should sacrifice what we have. I think it is good and right that my whole paycheck doesn't belong to me, that a portion of it belongs to the Lord and to the church for them to use with our mission partners and in our community. I also think it's good and right that not only would we give, but we can also give gifts beyond maybe our typical pledge. We can support the building campaign. We can give a gift to someone on their birthday or when they have a new child. We should be people who are ready and willing and excited when we are able to sacrifice and give somebody else something good. But if we're honest, that's not always us. That's not always our actions. And that's why John calls us to examine our actions. If we really want to get a picture of how is our relationship with the Lord, how is our faith, the first thing we must ask is, how are we acting? And are we sacrificing? or are we being selfish? But John doesn't leave us there. If you look at verse 17, I think he sets up a really funny scenario. He says, imagine that you see someone who's in need. And imagine you also have the material goods to meet that need. So he says, imagine you see someone who's hungry. And then imagine you just happen to have a bag that has a double cheeseburger and fries in it. So there you are with your double cheeseburger. What will you do? John says, I think it's really interesting. He doesn't say you withhold the cheeseburger. He doesn't say you ate it for yourself or you saved it for later. He doesn't say that you were mean. He says that what? You closed your heart to them. It's good and right for us to examine our actions and examine our relationships with the people around us. It's even better for us to also ask, what are our heart motivations? We should examine our actions and we should examine our motivations. John wants us to avoid closed-heartedness. He wants us to avoid closed-heartedness, the selfishness that points us back to ourselves. I think David's Psalm 139 is particularly helpful for us here. This is what he prays, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He says, God, I'm open to you. Look in my heart, look at my desires, look at my motivations, look at my thoughts. And then don't leave me there. Lead me in a new way. Lead me in a new way. I recommend that psalm to you, and I recommend that prayer to you. It's one that I've been told is a, quote, dangerous prayer, because it's one the Lord will always answer. If you say, God, show me the ways that I'm selfish, then he is sure to show you. But it's a good prayer, because not only will he show you, but then he will then show you a better way, his way, that will lead you to your own blessing and to the blessing of people around you. So if we're not motivated by selfishness and we don't have a heart that's closed to others, what would it look like to have an open heart? What would that motivation be to live like that? To live in a way where we're sacrificing of what we have for other people? I believe that gratitude is the primary motivation for the Christian heart. I mean, look what John has said. He says, remember that Jesus himself has laid down his life for you. So first, before we examine our actions, we must first realize what God has done for us and how much he loves us, how much he has sacrificed even for us. He sent his own son to die for us. And once we realize that, then we can respond to it. We can have an attitude and a motivation of gratitude. We can be thankful for all that he's given us. And that is when we can move to act and sacrifice for others, like John is talking about. This isn't an attitude that we can necessarily produce on our own, but it is always a response to what God has done for us. And that's why this morning I think the heart of John's message is that wherever you're at, if you check on your relationship with the Lord, it will be a blessing. Wherever you're at, if you check on your relationship with the Lord, it will be a blessing. I think that often when we think about this, we need to talk conversation. We get scared because it's a hard conversation. It's maybe an uncomfortable conversation. But I think this is an important context for us to remember. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9 say this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Being perfect was never the point. If you're here this morning and you feel the pressure to be perfect, if you don't want to have that conversation with the Lord, if you don't want to think about that relationship because you're worried you need to be perfect, that's not the point. Verse 9 of 1 John 1 continues. It says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The point isn't perfection. The point is this sustaining relationship with the Lord that can continue. It's our confession. Martin Luther, he had several problems with the Catholic Church. Maybe you've heard of them. When he wrote his 95 Theses, this is what the first one says. Maybe the most important, since he put it at the top. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. When Jesus says, "Repent," he wills our entire lives to be one of repentance. That means that we were never going to be perfect, but the point isn't perfection. Instead, the point is to continuing to check on our relationship with God and having a way to do it, and then confessing our sins, repenting and turning away from it, and celebrating the goodness that comes from that. So what would that look like if after we've examined our actions, after we've examined our hearts and our motivations, we want to then repent? What would that look like? I think verse 19 is really beautiful. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." Oh, excuse me. "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him." That word for reassure is often translated in other places as persuade. And I like both translations for the word in this context, because when we repent, when we confess our sins to God and then ask for help for him to lead us in a new direction, that is reassurance. It is comfort that we've been forgiven for what we've done or what we've thought or what we've desired. It is reassurance. It is good for us. It's healing for us. But also, repentance is a way that we try to bring our hearts back in line with the Lord's faithful way of life. In some ways, we have to persuade our own hearts back towards faithful living. And that's what repentance is. What would it look like for us to do the heart work of repentance? I think it could mean a few things. I think first and foremost, it means we must catch ourselves in our selfishness, in our sin. We must be aware enough to recognize it. I think that's where Psalm 139 comes in handy for us. Second, I think we must confess our sins. I think it's particularly helpful when I'm confessing my sins to the Lord to pray aloud. It keeps me focused, makes it feel authentic, and it reminds me that it's a relationship and that he hears me. And then thirdly, if we're repenting, I think it'd be really helpful for us to remind ourselves of the gospel. If you've been a Christian for one day or for 100 years, we need to remind ourselves of the gospel so that it can work its way deeper into our hearts, into our ways of life. Verse 20 reminds us that God is greater than any of our guilts and that he knows us completely. He knows our hearts, he knows our desires, our thoughts, he knows our actions, both public and private or secret. But because of Christ, God's knowledge of us results in our exoneration instead of our condemnation. God's knowledge of us because of Christ results in our exoneration, our freedom, our ability to have relationship, instead of our condemnation. So wherever you are in your relationship with the Lord, I encourage you to check on that relationship and do that consistently, because it will be a blessing for you. The rest of this chapter of 1 John 3 describes that blessing. It talks about what it would look like for us if we have confidence before God to approach him freely. Surely it means that we would have an assurance of our salvation. It means that we could experience a peace that lasts any circumstance. It could mean that we are living our lives not ruled by a fear or an anxiety that's controlling us, but instead our lives are ruled by grace. we can celebrate more what God is doing in our lives. And we can experience grace in a deeper way than we have before. These are the blessings of checking on our relationship with the Lord. These are the actual results of us having that scary, we need to talk conversation. So I'm not sure where you're at this morning with the Lord. Maybe you feel that your relationship is good. Maybe you think it's good, but you just haven't checked on it in a while. Maybe you feel like you're struggling. Wherever you're at, know that it is good and right for you to check on your relationship with Him, and it will be a blessing. Even if you feel like you're stuck in a rom-com and that you've done everything wrong and you're worried that eventually God's going to come to you and say, we need to talk, we're breaking up. The good news of the gospel is that that is never God's response to us. He's always hopeful and wanting and desiring a further relationship with us, a deeper relationship with us. And so this week, I encourage you to do those things. To examine your own actions, to examine your heart motivations, and then find a place to repent and ask the Lord to lead you in His way, in a new way. In a minute, the band is going to come forward and we're going to have an opportunity to respond. There are many ways that you can respond this morning. I encourage you to sit and pray where you're at if you'd like to just have some time to pray or to check on your relationship. I also encourage you, if you haven't joined our church, you could come forward and talk to either Mark or I at the front. We'd be happy to talk to you more about what that would look like. Or maybe if, as I've been talking, you've wondered to yourself, I'm not sure if I even have started a relationship with God. Again, Mark and I would love to talk to you about what it means to start and have a relationship with God forever. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the love with which you have loved us. Thank you that your love is strong and sacrificial, that you laid down your own life for us. Thank you for all that you've done. I pray that in our own hearts you would help us to grow gratitude, that we would recognize your love, that we would see it and celebrate it, and that it would infect our hearts with a joy and a grace and a peace that we want to share. Lord, we love you and we're so thankful for your kindness. I pray that you would lead us to love you more and to love the people around us, not in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. Pray all this in your name.